Blog Talk Radio.
Composer Bob Baldwin. Have you heard about Coffee Talk Jazz Radio? We'll join the Coffee Talk party with veteran broadcaster and host, Miss Bridget Lewis. She brings listeners the best there is in diversity and talent, and you'll get a chance to peek behind the curtain and get up close and personal with your favorite artist. You'll experience world-class contemporary Latin, gospel straight ahead, and smooth jazz greats all right here at Coffee Talk Jazz Radio. Our show's calling number is 1-347-934-0108. That's 347-934-0108. And our show link is www.blogtalkradio.com/Miss Bridget Lewis. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/coffeetalkjazz. And check out our official website at www.coffeetalkjazzradio.com. This is Bob Baldwin, and we'll see you real soon, okay? Ciao.
Hello, 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 and welcome everybody to this beautiful, gorgeous Friday. God, I am broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California. You listen to the very best in Blog Talk Radio here at Coffee Talk Jazz. Boy, do we have a power-packed show for you. I don't know who's more excited, me or the guest. But before I bring this Titan saxophonist on, let's tell you guys who is logged into the broadcast right now, and then I'll do his intro shortly. OMG, it is a full show today. We've got some international love in the house. Tokyo's in the building. Hello, hello. Shanghai is in the building. Hello, hello, hello. We see you guys. London, what time is it in London right now? We see you, and of course, New York. Wow, looks like we've got three boroughs that are hanging out with us, the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Bedford Stuy. Oh, and Hell's Kitchen. Hey, 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 guys. Now, let me introduce this afternoon's guest. His name is Tim Cunningham. Let that fall out of your mouth. Say it with me. Tim Cunningham. And for decades, he has been known for his smooth, sultry, cool, and funky sounds. I just want to go ahead and just bring him on, and we're going to jump right into his career. I'd like to welcome the newest member to the Coffee Talk Jazz family. Tim Cunningham is in the virtual building. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great Friday.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so tell our listeners where you're actually calling in from, because I'm on the West Coast and you're somewhere on the East Coast. Or are you in the Midwest? Where are you?
I am in the Midwest. If you consider Missouri the Midwest, I think it's considered. We're in the middle of the country. Just put it like that. I'm in outside of St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, that is awesome. So, God, there is so much more love that's coming in. Before I get to our first question, God, you guys, this is going to be such a delicious show. Madrid, hello. Somebody text me, send me a tweet or something. Tell me what time is it in Madrid? Dubai, hello, hello. You guys know we have a big international family. Buenos Aires, hello, you guys. Welcome. We see you. We see you there. We've got some folks stateside. We're going to wait till some more folks log on, and then we're going to go ahead and shout you guys out. And if you are nice to me today, and my special guest, I've got some goody good goods, okay, hanging out in the crates, but we won't tell you guys what it is. So, Tim, your music floors me. And I don't say that lightly. So the first question I have for you is, When did you fall in love with music? When did it hit you that you have that thing?
Wow, that's a question I've never heard. I haven't. When I think about it, I have to go back to when I was, probably 6 or 7 years old. I got two older sisters who loved to sing, and I used to kind of sing with them. And then my brother was playing drums in the high school band, and he inspired me to play drums when I got to the sixth grade. And so I wasn't sure if I was, a good musician or whatever. I just was just going out for the band and ended up playing drums in sixth grade, got tired of it after the sixth grade. And I told my director, I was like, hey, give me a saxophone or something. That's exactly, I'll never forget it. And he gave me this tenor saxophone. And within a couple of weeks, I really loved it. I mean, I was taking it home every day. I was playing three sports, but the saxophone was always the main thing. I just absolutely loved it.
So wow, when you said that, now you've taken me back to my childhood, and you guys, and I don't mind telling you guys, childhood, I mean, that was like some of the best. I have like some of the absolute, best memories, the fact that you had siblings, who I kind of really feel like they kind of like, kind of drew that talent, out, in you. And that kind of certainly the way that it was when my sister and I were growing up, so where she was really, really, really creative. And it kind of really took me a long time to kind of find my thing. But, once I found it, that was just kind of really it for me. And so I want to just kind of take it back for a moment, talking about children. How important do you think as an artist it is for parents to foster the gift that they see in their children?
That's a double-sided question. I think it's extremely important, and I'm glad that, here in Missouri, they require that all kids take a violin course. And it's absolutely required. And that was not a requirement back in Michigan where I grew up, but after these kids, I think it's fifth grade. So after they take the class, then once they get up to middle school, then you kind of find out or figure out if you have the talent, if that's something you'd like to do. Like all three of my kids, they thought that they wanted to be musicians, and they played the violin, each one of them. My oldest son thought he wanted to play guitar. He picked it up for a couple of weeks, put it down. My second son, who had a natural gift to play drums, and I mean, he had a really natural gift, but he just, for whatever reason, after about a year or two, he gave it up. And my daughter, she messes around with the piano, thought she wanted to play the sax, and she put that down. But my point is on the other side, I actually had a couple of people who wanted me to teach their kids sax lessons, want to take sax lessons, but tell it was coming from the parent and not the child. For instance, this one kid back in Michigan, we were doing the lessons. We did like two lessons. He wasn't practicing. He wasn't doing anything. So I finally told the mom, I said, hey, look, this is a waste of your money and waste of my time because he's not practicing. The main reason why she wanted him to play was because her dad was a saxophone player. So just because your mom or dad or your brother or sister was a musician doesn't mean every kid wants to play an instrument, and you shouldn't be forcing them to do that. And I had another kid here in Missouri, same thing. He wasn't practicing, and, the kid turned around and was trying to tell me what to do, and I'm like, oh, my God, we got to stop this right now.
Oh, my God, no.
And that was the end of lessons for me. I stopped teaching lessons after that.
Wow. Okay, now, so you're really going to take me back to my days. Thank you for sharing. You're taking me back to my days when I worked in academia, I was working at USC before I jumped into the mm-hmm. whole music business 17 years ago. I was an academic admissions advisor. And so the funny part was, for anyone who knows anything about football, and I know we're going to get into your football career in just a second, know anything about football, about University of Southern California, the Trojans, they bleed Cardinal and go, oh, my God. And what I mean by that is that third and fourth generation, that lineage, for example, I had students that just loved me. And I would meet their parents. So let's say it was a first-year student. I used to work with a lot of work-study students to make sure they had money and scholarships and stuff like that, you know, and so they could, you know, make their way through school. And so I remember one kid in particular. This guy was so incredibly gifted. He was so artistic. I mean, he could look at something and just draw it, and his hand would be moving so fast across the page, and you really weren't quite sure what he was actually drawing when you see it. I mean, it would just sound, it was truly a gift. He was touched by God's hand. On the other hand, I remember him pulling me to the side, and I noticed there was like a look in his eye, and it was a weepy look in his eye. And I remember his name clear. His name was Elliot White. And he said, "Miss Bridget," he said, "my grandfather's an engineer, my father's an engineer, my uncles are engineers, and they want me to be an engineer." And he says, "I hate it. I don't know how to tell them." They go, "I'm telling," and they go, they said, "and they want me to do it." And he says, "I'm so afraid that I'm going to disappoint them, so I'm doing it." And he wasn't doing well. And so that for me, and I said, oh, my God, right? And I said, and I began to have real conversations with the parents. And so I remember he shared his book of drawings with me, and I said, "Look," I said, "if it's okay with you," I said, "I'd like to set up a meeting. And, you know, let's talk to your uncles. Let's talk to your parents." I said, "No, I'm not saying that they're going to change their mind, but I think that they should at least know really where your heart is." And I'm telling you, this kid's knees was shaking. And so we set up that meeting, never forget, in the conference room, and we set everything up. And you could tell, like, if he blinked, this kid was just going to just drop these big crocodile tears. He was so afraid. And he was really shocked at his father's and his uncle's response. And they said, "We had no idea that this isn't what you wanted to do," but the kid was so intimidated because they were all successful. And he says, "Well, I've heard him say, if you do anything other than engineering, we think it's a dumb idea," right? And so for anyone who is listening live, don't put that kind of pressure, you know, on your children or on your family members, because I said, you could really be hurting a career, something that they could really flourish and thrive in and still make good money. Because don't you think, Tim, that ultimately, if you do something that you love, the money is going to be there? I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Absolutely. And it's an interesting point you bring up, because in my hometown, just outside in Hope, Michigan, there was a family. One kid was a doctor and the other kid was doing whatever he was doing. And the mom and dad were putting pressure on, saying, "You don't do blah, blah, blah like, you know, Timmy does," or whatever. And this kid ended up taking his own life.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
No.
I mean, it can go that deep. So do not put pressure on your kids to do something they don't want to do. And I know of a doctor, his grandfather and his father were brain surgeons. They challenged him, saying, "Hey, this is something you'll never be able to do." So he just did it just to show them that he could do it. And he got through the system. He was a brain surgeon for a long time. But his true love was being a sound engineer. I went to this guy's house in Kentucky. He's got microphones.
What?
He's got microphones from like 1940s and 50s and 60s. He loves music. He's got his own sound gear. He does sound. That's his first love, not the brain surgery.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing.
That's so incredible. You guys, we're going to jump into some of Tim's music. I'm going to pose a question to you that I want you to think about while we're playing some of this delicious tracks. And you guys, I'm going to pop up the links for the digital retailer links for Spotify, for Apple, so you guys can purchase Tim's music. So the question is, if you could have steaming hot coffee with any artist, musician, past or present, who would that be? And what would be the conversation? So that's the question I want you to think about. And this CD, you guys, is so good. Okay, I have some of Tim's music from his Freedom, but I want to get into this track. It's called Enough Said, and this is the remix on a Friday. I'm just saying, you guys. So, Tim, if you can set this up, we're going to play for the fans, open up the chat room, and tweet, because this show is live, y'all. So set this track up first, and we're going to play it for the fans, Tim.
Okay, this is the last track I completed for the CD back in roughly August. I was under pressure to get this thing out before October because I had been working on it for 4 or 5 years, telling people, hey, you know, CD's coming out next year, CD's coming out next year. So I needed one more track, and I actually wrote it by myself. And
wow.
I'm still blown away that I was able to do it, because I'm not a bass player. I'm not necessarily a keyboard player. I play keyboards enough to write a song, but that's about it.
Mm.
I put it together. I put the original track together with studio drums, and then we did a remix with Al Turner, who is the MD for Kim, and he's a producer.
The bone bass player.
Yes, and Al Turner is unbelievable. He put this thing together. He said, Tim, this needs
Stop
to be
it.
Your first single. So that's how it came about.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about Tim Waters. We're going to talk about Al Turner. We're going to talk more about Tim's background in football and all the other great stuff. You guys, let's take a listen to Enough Said. Here we go.
this is Marjanae, contemporary gospel recording artist. Do you love good coffee and a great chat? Well, today is your chance to peek behind the curtain with your favorite artist. Are you celebrating a birthday? If so, join us with the Coffee Talk Jazz Radio Birthday Club. Send us a text at 562-355-0311 or email us at coffeetalkjazzradio@msn.com. We'll also give you a live shout-out and plenty of Twitter love. You never know what you might win. Call us today if it's your birthday at 347-934-0108. Be sure to follow our tweet and also follow us on Facebook. So happy birthday from Miss Bridget and the Coffee Talk Jazz crew.
Hi, this is Nick Oleon. Let's keep the Coffee Talk party brewing each Sunday, 5 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays, 3 to 6 p.m., and Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You'll hear jazz greats, R&B, soul, and funk influences. Stay tuned and you'll hear jazz past and jazz still to come. Be sure to tune in and listen in with your host, Miss Bridget.
Hey guys, we are back and we're broadcasting live on this beautiful, glorious Friday with my very special guest, Titan saxophonist Tim Cunningham. Y'all don't play with me because he has receipts. Did y'all hear that last track? Time in. The chat room is open. I want to hear what you have to say. Excellent, excellent job. Oh my God, let me tell you, your music is incredible. And for anyone who knows me, you guys know that I think, sleep, and eat musicians. I love music. I love it. I love it. I love it. And my late father, Arthur Lee, was a saxophone and alto sax player, and I did not know that until after my father had passed away, and I had no idea why I had such a love for saxophonists. So I feel like I'm in good company, Tim.
You are.
I had no idea. So you guys, the chat room is open. Feel free to go ahead and pop a question in that you'd like to ask Tim, anything that's relevant to music. So Tim, the question before we went to break and listen to Enough Said is, if you could have steaming hot coffee with any musician past or present, name that person, that artist, who would that be and why?
That's easy for me. Grover Washington Jr. He was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was the guy. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
I get a little emotional talking about him because he died on my birthday.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Powerful.
Yeah.
Wow.
A little strange, because he was the first guy that I was introduced to in terms of contemporary jazz music by my band director, and then I got turned on to guys like David Sanborn, but Grover was, I mean, he was just, wow, absolutely amazing, Mr. Magic, all that good music.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he died on my birthday in 1999, so I kind of felt like the torch was being passed to me, you know, in a certain way. Now, in my career, I only pursued music full time for about 7 years. So I've kind of been on and off with it. You know, I wanted to stay with my family. Been married for 31 years. And I believe a lot of that has to do with the fact that I was able to stay home, stay close by, stay in my kids' lives, and they're in their 20s now. But Grover Washington Jr. for sure, he was one of the innovators of contemporary jazz music.
Oh my God, I have so much to say about Grover. We all have a lot of things in common. Yeah, he passed away, unfortunately, on December 17th. My birthday falls on September 17th, not in December, but on the 17th. And like you, he was one of my favorite sax players. And it was something about him where, when I say effortless, I've seen him perform live on a couple different occasions in New York. For those who don't know, he was born in Buffalo, New York, but he lived in Manhattan. And there is something, if y'all don't know, and I said y'all, because I'm a Southern girl, I said y'all, yes, I did. There is something about that East Coast funk soul is different than the West Coast sound. It has a soul. It has a life. It has something that's just so incredibly different. And I believe when Grover played, I believe that things were broken off of people. I'm going to say it like that, because when he played, to me, his music was like, it was a ministry. And sometimes you don't always necessarily have to go to church and be standing behind a pulpit to get delivered and to get free. And so the thing that I remember is like going to those jazz festivals and concerts before I even got into the thing that I'm doing now. I mean, I would just be taken aback, just like, wow. It was just really just so just amazing. So thank you so much for your transparency, for your vulnerability, and what a mentor, you know, to have. And I believe that there's so many other saxophonists who look at his life. I believe I can name another one, unfortunately, George Howard. I remember how much he loved Grover. Completely different style, playing soprano, but just pretty incredible. So really quickly, I see that someone wants to ask a question in the chat. So, okay, I see you. Let me ask the question. So the question is, oh, it's about the pandemic. Okay. So they were saying, with the fragile economy during the pandemic, do you think that people look to music to give them hope, because it was such a dark time? That's a question.
Absolutely. That was why right after the pandemic, when people started coming back out to concerts, there was a mad rush for tickets. I mean, it was unbelievable. Now, from what, just my own opinion, I think people started putting together their bucket list. And it's like, I got to see this person. I don't care how much it costs me. I'm putting it on my credit card. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Florida, whatever. And I think right now you're seeing people travel. They don't care how far it is. They're going to go to that concert. And another thing that blew up was insurance policies. People started buying life insurance.
Because
they didn't know. Because, you know, COVID was real. And people didn't know if they were going to die, or if their, you know, somebody in their family was going to die. That was another thing. But music, oh my God, it was, I actually started promoting my own shows, and people started coming out like crazy. It's just kind of like, what's going on? It's like, oh, it must be COVID.
Oh wow, you got me in the belly laugh, because I go, I know what that looks like, and you're right. COVID was, it was an awakening. COVID was, we don't know what the heck this is, and we better stop playing and do the things that really matter in life, because people crack me up. Like, I'm 63, like, I'm a realist, right? So, you know, whatever you're going to do, do it now. Stop talking about I'm going to, I'm fixing to. And I was like, but when does that day really come? You know what I mean? Because the work that you do, the music that you play, it could really help somebody else to move on and open them up to their purpose. Or I'll use me as an example, where when my mom got sick, I was 46 years old when I was working in academia. And, you know, as much as I love that job and being where I was, I learned that they really didn't care about me after a decade. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm fighting congested traffic in L.A. to get here and work for you guys, making you a gazillion dollars, right? But then I was faced with, well, you either got to come back to work, but you can't do both. And I was like, now I'm going to just say this, my alternate personality came out, I'll just say that, where you only get one mama, and I only had one at the time.
Yep.
And so my mom got sick, you know, unfortunately she suffered and had a brain aneurysm, and she wasn't given a really long time, you know, to live. And so for me, it's like, whoops, it was such a quick shift. Nothing else mattered in my life. Like, I don't care. It didn't matter. Everything completely shifted. And I can tell you this, that I never looked back. I never went back into corporate America because I'm like, okay, it's a different business model. I was at a different place in my life. And I was like, these people don't really care about me. And so my whole point is I go, start doing the stuff that you love now. So if you want to travel, write a book, you know, produce music, you know, you getting out there and putting on your own shows. And what I tell people is I said, stop waiting for people to do anything for you. I said, create your own opportunity, right?
Thank you.
Don't wait for an opportunity. Create it because it's available. It's there. I tell my team all the time, we have a saying in the office, and it's big on the walls. Like whenever you walk in, it says, imagine the impossible, and then the word I am is crossed off. It just says, imagine the possible. What does that look like, right? And so when I'm working with my team, I said, you guys don't work for me. I said, no. We are partners. We are teammates. We're all in this together. And I said, everybody throws their hat in the ring, and we all do what we need to do in order to support and market and promote. So whatever you guys are going to do, basically do it now, because I'm certain that when the late Grover Washington was up performing, he passed away, unfortunately, doing what he loved, and that was making other people happy through the gift that God gave him through music. You guys, I'm done with my sermon, but I had to get it out. But am I telling the truth, Tim? I mean, come on now, back me up on this. Am I telling
Absolutely.
The truth?
Absolutely. Music is very spiritual and very healing. I mean, people will come to concerts, close their eyes, and just let the music take them wherever they want to go. That's what music is all about. I've seen people crying. I've seen people saluting at shows. It just that's what I love about music. I want music that's going to touch me. If the music's not touching you, then there's something wrong.
That part.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is so good. So speaking of that, your links are up. The chat room is open. Twitter is open. I want to get into another track, and this is one that was requested because we did a listener poll before we even did the show, and typically I usually do the listener poll after the show, and Tim, we are going to do another one, by the way. I typically do it after we have the show to get, you know, and this is sent out to like 5,000 loyal listeners, you know, folks who've been a part of the Coffee Talk Jazz Network from 3 to 7 years. Like, they're so honest, they're so forthright, and they're going to tell us like exactly what they think, because I can have an opinion about it because I love music, but it's like, no, I want you all to tell me what you feel about this artist's music and how it moves you. And the responses were just, they were amazing. I believe we sent them out to you via email blast, but they were just amazing. So I want to get into Cruising. If you can set this up, we'll play it for the fans, and then we'll pop that link up on Twitter so you guys can run and smack that button and go ahead and buy it for yourself. I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to be greedy and hold this to myself. You guys can have your own copy.
Wow, that tune goes back a ways. That song goes back a little bit of ways. And it's funny because that you asked me about that song, because I did a show last year in October in Kirkwood, Missouri, which is where David Sanborn grew up. And this woman drove all the way from Minneapolis to hear me play that song. And we didn't play the song. I've never performed that song live. I never have. But we are going to start playing that because we got so many requests for it. I'm blown away by that.
You've got something here. So I'm going to jump in and play it for the fans, and then we're going to come back and we're going to read some of the comments live on air as to what our panel has to say about Mr. Tim Cunningham. Let's go, y'all.
Hello, I'm bassist Al Turner. Something big is brewing on Coffee Talk Jazz Radio. You'll hear technical innovators on bass and guitar with no overdubs. Each artist plays music with an uncommon depth of feeling. So join the jazz conversation each week with Miss Bridget. She is the coffee lady. My name is Al Turner. My website is alturner.com. You can email me at alturnermusic@aol.com. Like me on Facebook at Al Turner Music. Also follow me on Twitter at Al Turner Music.
Okay, guys, we are back and we're broadcasting live. You guys, we have heard some music. I'm telling you, Tim, your song Cruisin' really took me to a place. I'm sitting here just like I am just chilled. You would have thought, that I have like a glass of wine. I only have a glass of lemonade right now. I'm not even drinking coffee, but I'm telling you, it's like the Cruisin' is the kind of song that after you've had a really long, hard day at work, you just got to go home, take a shower, grab something cute, and you're just going to go and hang out, you know, at the club and all that kind of stuff. And I agree with what you said earlier before we went to break as to where music is, it's, you didn't say escapism, but it almost, but it's kind of like it washes over you, and you may cry, mm-hmm. you may stomp your foot, you may clap your hands, but it definitely takes you to a place. And I love the universalness of music, because when I go to these festivals, I see red, I see black, I see white, I see all races, all classes of people. And the one common mm-hmm. thing that everybody is doing, everybody is laughing, giggling, hugging, high-fiving, doing a pound sign, and having a little brewski, I'm just saying.
Well, that's what music has done. It brought people to, brings people together. Even like sports, same thing. It just, it brings people to, together regardless of, you know, what race they are. And it brings people together for, you know, in a happy way, in a kind of a spiritual way as well.
It really does. So speaking of that, so for those of you who are just joining the broadcast, you guys, welcome to the party with my very special guest, saxophonist Ham. So one of our readers and one of our listeners said, she says, This is from Lisa. She says, Tim pushes jazz from joyful dancing music to the peak of spontaneous expression. I was so blown away by that. And she's been a fan for 8 years. And when you hear that, when you say, oh, my God, like I'm on the right track, are you surprised and shocked?
Those kind of comments are mind-blowing for me because I don't know. I hear stuff like that sometimes, but when I hear something like that, I'm like, you know, are other artists hearing the same thing? And I know they are, but some of the statements that I've heard were just like that one. They just kind of blow my mind.
Oh, my gosh. Here's the beautiful thing that I love about our listeners. They're from every walk of life. They're from suburbia. They're from the hood. They're from overseas. Mm-hmm. So I have another listener. So the technical prowess he brings, and these folks, they're educated. Like my folks, they understand music for real, right? Because they're deep with their comments,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
he says
right.
The technical prowess he brings to each song, blending smooth jazz, soulful R&B, has been effortless. He has my vote. This is from Walter Chatham from Santa Monica, California. He's been a fan of the show for 4 years, right?
Oh.
I'll read one more. This is regarding Cruisin'. Says, I love Tim's style so much. I searched YouTube and found his previous single, Cruisin', another favorite. His style and sound is captivating. This is from Priscilla Subel in Dallas, Texas, Coffee Talk Radio fan of 6 years.
Wow.
Like, don't play with my people. Don't play with them.
You just, Your people are for real, man.
Oh yeah,
I love
it. They're real because we do a we have a reader poll, and then we have a listener poll, and then we do a survey for a couple reasons. Because we know as artists, you guys are putting your blood, your sweat, your tears, your money, and your heart into this music. And so mm-hmm. we really want to hear the feedback. You know what I mean? And I think it's a big deal. And so for me, you know, as a content creator, as a producer, doing stuff for television, stuff like that, you know, numbers don't lie. The data doesn't lie. The demographic, the psychographic, like, I'm a statistical person. I love numbers, but I'm also creative. But I want to know the origin, like, why do you like the song? What did it do to you? How did it make you feel? But more so, how many times are you going to buy this and send it out to your friends? Because that's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate. So I want to talk about your good friend, Al Turner, for a minute. I know you're a little surprised to hear Al on the air. Like, hey, Al,
I was shocked by that.
See, this is why 6 degrees of separation, you never know who knows who, right? And, oh, man, I have not talked to Al in forever. I mean, I know it's probably been at least a decade. That is too long. And
wow.
the last time I talked to Al, if I remember, but I think she had come out of it, I was so struck by his dedication to his family, because I know that his family, specifically his wife, she had a health challenge. I won't go into the details. It ain't y'all business. I'm just saying, right?
Right.
I know that she had mm-hmm. a health challenge, and the love he had for his wife and the way that he supported her, I mean, it brought me to my knees, and he was open in sharing with me on a personal level. And musicians can sometimes, you know, you guys will let your music out, but most musicians I know, they're very private. It's like, it's not your business.
Right.
But, you know, my artist friends, like, they trust me. They know me. They know it's like it's not going to go anywhere. And so to watch the love between him and his wife and the music, and how, like, he inspired him and he made even more music. So when you talked about Al, which I didn't know he was playing, you know, on, you know, your remix, I was like, man, this is why you ought to be right in the industry, because you don't know who knows who. You just don't know.
You really,
right,
you Tim? Really don't. You really don't. And Al and I, you know, we're both from Michigan. Al grew up in Detroit, and I grew up in Lansing, which is, you know, just 85 miles away. And he played – I met him through a friend of mine. I can't remember who introduced me to him. I want to say it was Skip Poo, a saxophone player. Al was playing with, and Al and I, he recorded, I want to say, at least two, maybe three songs on my Atlantic Records CD when I was with Atlantic back in 96 when the album came out. And that's where we kind of hit it off, and we just stayed in touch with each other. Of course, he toured with Earl Clue, and as I mentioned earlier, he was and he just... He's just a phenomenal, and he's just as great a person. Oh, my God, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible
he
person.
Is. I mean, a sweetheart, sweet spirit. You can just quiet, but when he played that act, like, woo, it's over. He lets the music talk. It's a done deal. Wow. I want to see if I can just jump into one more track really quick. You guys, I'm going to give you a teaser. I'm not going to give you the whole thing. If you want it, you just have to buy it. I'm just saying. So we're going to jump into the track. It's off the Freedom CD, number 3. It's called Speak to Me. I'm going to play it for you guys. I'm going to pop the links up on Twitter. Here we go. Thank you.
Hi, this is guitarist Ken Navarro. Have you heard about Coffee Talk Jazz Radio? Join the Coffee Talk party each and every week with radio personality and host Ms. Bridgette Lewis. You'll experience the very best there is in diversity and talent. Get ready to hear rich, cutting-edge sounds along with contemporary jazz, smooth jazz, a touch of funk, straight ahead, modern bebop, and swing. Jazz musicians like me dig deep when they play, and we write from our souls while creating one-of-a-kind music. You'll hear lyrics, even though no one's speaking on each track. There's always a unique and undeniable message in each and every song. You'll hear music of mine like this, The Stars, The Snow, The Fire, a track from my brand new CD, Dreaming of Trains. So make it a point to be a part of Coffee Talk Jazz Radio every week with host Ms. Bridgette Lewis. I'm Ken Navarro.
And we're back. We're broadcasting live, folks. If you guys want to join the Coffee Talk Street team, if you guys want to be our eyes and our ears, you've heard some great music, and you want to share it with us, send an email to coffeetalkjazzradio@msn.com. Now, we're going to put Tim in the hot seat because they're trying to count me down, but I just got to get this last two questions in. So the first question is, if you could share with someone who's brand new to this industry, and they feel like, hey, I want to be rich. I think I can do this. I want to get into it. What minefields or what landmines would you tell that person they need to avoid as they're really embarking on this adventure? Because being an artist is not for the faint of heart. It is not. You better love it or don't get involved. So I'm going to let Tim talk. Okay, I've had my say. I'm going to let Tim tell y'all.
I'll tell you, one thing that I remember Will Downing telling me is, like, if you want to be an artist, if you really want to be good, you got to practice. You've got to practice. And if you get to that level, you got to be ready for the critics. You got to be ready for people that might not like you or whatever. He also said, you know, it's really important to understand that this is, like you said, like, it's not for the faint of heart. This is something that, you know, when you step on that stage, hey, if something goes wrong, when people hear a bad note or something, oh my God, they are turned off immediately, and they can, you know, and it's funny because just like, you know, all the negative news travels so badly, and good news doesn't travel that well. Man, you hit a bad note or something, and people just start, you know, they start spreading stuff all over the place, and it's just, and it goes bad, goes really fast. The bad news travels really fast. So it's so critical to remember to practice and stay on top of your game. It's just because regardless of how talented you are, timing is so critical. I was talking to somebody yesterday about, we always see these amazing young musicians on TikTok and other social media platforms, and the difference between them and, you know, somebody else who may not be as good is timing. It's all about timing. It's like, how is this kid playing in such great rhythm? Because they've got that natural gift. And some people don't have the gift, but you might be able to get to another level, but you still, even those gifted people, they have to practice. So that's, that is critical. I would never forget, like I said, I'll never forget Will Downing talking about that years ago, at least 15 years ago.
Wow. When you said that, it reminded me of my very good friend, Paul Jackson Jr., and I'll give you guys the edited version.
Oh, yeah.
I have known Paul, oh my God, I was probably like maybe 10, probably 10 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've known Paul for like a long time. His family, Blanche, his mom used to manage him, his sisters, Karen, his children, his wife, all that. So one of the things I remember about Paul, when everybody else was running around, you know, outside, you know, being a kid, Paul and his father, Paul Sr., they were in the garage. He was shedding. He was talking about practice, right? He knew at 15 years old he wanted to be a professional musician. So his father fostered the gift that he saw, you know, in him. But Paul is very serious. Paul is really quiet, but he is a beast on stage. And you can turn on the back of, look on the back of any CD, and you will see Paul's name, whether it was a late Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston or Luther Vandross, Paul's name is somewhere, you know, in the mix. My point is, one of the things I remember Paul saying to me, because he took the cover, he was on the cover of Coffee Talk Jazz Magazine for 2013, which is our inaugural issue. And so one of the things he said is, when you're out here, as I mentioned before, you never know which artist knows which artist, right? And he said, you've got to be humble. You got to stay hungry, but you got to be humble. And I remember it was a tour, and it was Vanessa Williams' tour, and they needed to sub out for a tour. Something happened with the saxophonist. But he was so enamored with Vanessa that he could not get himself together. So he was trying to impress her and trying to play. And I think it was, oh, my God, what was the name of the song? I see it in my mind's eye. I can't even think of it. But she's had so many different hits. But anyway, he came in and played the song completely different. It was already a bestseller. And they were like, the MD was just like, we need you just to play the music. Just play the track. You don't need to play it any way other than it was. But anyway, needless to say, he didn't get the gig because, number one, he couldn't follow instructions. He was too busy trying to impress her, and I'm like, how are you going to make a best-selling hit better than it already is? So I just remember that lesson that Paul talked about. He was like, you know, if you're ear-trained, do that. If you can read charts, do that. But stop trying to make the song something other than what it was, right? So I remember that lesson. I remember that lesson that he shared, and I believe that's why he's really gone on. Dude, he's the first call musician. He's the first person that people call, whether they're going to tour, spot date, or whatever. Like, he's the guy that everybody is going to pick up the phone and call. And as you mentioned, equally as nice as Al Turner, Paul is like one of the most humble people. And he's funny, too. Most people don't know. He's kind of has a dry sense of humor. But if you get to know him, it's like, oh, my God, he's a pretty cool dude. But, oh, my God, I'm excited about you as an artist. I am so happy that my team and I are here to promote you, support you, market you. You've got something incredibly special. We love your music. Man, like, you just blow me away. And that's hard to do that, honestly, because I have like 12,000 emails right now. And I had asked my assistant, I said, I'm going to need you to go and sort through what's critical, what's important. You know, I'm going to need you to do that because I'm not going to have time. And if there's something you feel like I need to hear, I'm like, let me listen to that. And sometimes I'll just seek out musicians. And if it's a certain kind of instrument, then I want to play that. But last question that I have for you is this kind of a fun one. Everybody has a favorite ice cream. So we want to know what your favorite ice cream is. And is it Ben and Jerry's, or is it Haagen-Dazs, or neither?
if I had to pick one of the two, it would definitely be Ben and Jerry's fudge brownie.
What? Oh my God! Oh, you surprised me! You got me on that. I was like, I thought you were gonna be Haagen-Dazs. Wow!
Yeah,
you got me on that. Wow! Man, this has been such a joy to host your show. We're going to take it out with I Want to Love You. And please share with our fans, where can they find you? How can they book you?
Simply timcunningham.com. And there's a link up there to click on a booking page, and you can call the number 636-778-6367. booktimcunningham@gmail.com. Feel free to text us. I write back immediately. So I also have a digital book, digital card, which is Tim's Card, TIMSCARD.com. You can access everything there as well. The music, EPK, which is an electronic press kit, and all that good stuff. And I'm on Facebook, Tim Cunningham Music, Instagram, Tim Cunningham Saxman. And I got a little TikTok page. I'm trying to catch up with my son. My son has 5 million followers on TikTok.
Oh, my God, you guys. Wow. If you guys are looking to book Tim on the West Coast, you got to go through me because I need to screen you to make sure that you're real. And you're going to have to pay him. Did y'all hear me? Did I say pay? P-A-Y? Uh-huh. Y'all can reach me at Coffee Talk Jazz Radio, MSN.com. And we're going to go ahead and say, with music in our hearts and with jazz in our souls, we want to thank you, our friends, fans, and supporters, for making Coffee Talk award-winning and number one. We love you for listening. We'll see you next time. We're going to take it out with I Want to Love You. Thanks, guys.